What is up, everybody? It's your boys over at the Tuned In Sports Company. This is the Off-Field Generals podcast. It's your boy, Wiss. It's your boy, Hunter. And it's your boy, Tavo. I mean, here we are.
It is Thursday, October 1st.
Here we are.
October, Tavo.
Who'd have known?
Is this the most jam-packed, exciting October of sports in our lives? College football, MLB playoffs, NBA Finals Game 1 last night, NFL going on. We're in the midst of college football, baseball, basketball, and pro football, all in the same month.
It's beautiful.
It's so spooky that it's sexy. If you're a sports fan, you should just be in.
Alex is, oh.
I don't know. I was trying to tie Halloween into it. It didn't work. And you know what we're going to do? We're just going to move forward.
The sexy part of it was, I think, where we started to unravel.
Yeah, so you really got me.
It's like what's the Michael Scott quote? Sometimes I'll start a sentence and I don't know where it's going. I hope I find it along the way.
Yeah, you're like, you started a presentation and now we're not talking about business numbers anymore. You know, we're talking about sports. It is what it is.
I just feel bad for my wife, right? Because she's like, what are we doing tonight? I'm like, actually, there's this game on.
Well,
what about tomorrow? Well, then there's this game.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that they're just going to have
to learn.
What
about the next day? Well, let's
literally every Saturday morning, Rachel is like, so are you just going to be watching football today? Or can we go do something? I'm like, you know this. Like, you know, why do you ask me this question every Saturday morning when you know the answer to that?
Yeah.
I will see you January 5th. Yeah,
she's like, you watch it.
Yourself
it's
up
every
failure.
Day. And I have to say, no, it's not. It's Thursday night, it's Saturday, and it's Sunday.
And Monday.
And then Monday night. But, so it's 4 days a week for 3 months. That's what? So 4 days a week, 4 weeks, so 16 days.
You got your whole lives together, man.
16 days a month for 16 days, I'm trying to do math real quick in my head. 16 days a month for, we'll say, 4 months. So that's 64 days out of the 365-day year. So 303 days, fine. Like, I'll do whatever. All I ask is for 62 days. Really, it's like 30 days and 30 nights. 30 days and 30 nights is all I ask.
Beautiful.
I think that's fair, right?
It doesn't sound like too much.
It's a very reasonable ask of me to have 30 days and 30 nights.
Right.
But
and then they can't complain. You're getting it all done in one chunk.
Yeah, honestly, this should be the best sports seasons of the wives' lives.
Yeah, it's all together. It's all mushed.
Yes, I'm watching the NBA and NFL at the same time.
They don't have to worry about hockey. We let that one just finished.
Yes,
let's go Lightning.
We were a hockey podcast.
Yeah,
for
let's
that
go
day.
Lightning
for
that's
that one
tight.
Day.
Good job. No one likes Dallas anyway. So.
Yeah. Well, we really don't become hockey guys until the Kraken start playing.
Yeah. No. Once that Kraken really start cracking.
Did you have a team? Who did you pick as your hockey team?
When we did the top three?
Like, no, when we
did
when we said
thing.
We're bandwagoning on hockey teams.
Oh, the Flyers?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Philadelphia. But yeah, hockey championship ended.
So that's
don't worry
one
about
less.
That. Baseball less? Playoffs. It's baseball playoffs, NBA Finals, NFL, and college football all happening at the same time. The wives / girlfriend that Alex will get here soon.
Nah. I'm all right.
Lady
should
friend.
Be very grateful that it's all mushed into just this 3 month window. We just had all summer. We didn't have anything. Summer was spent movie nights and binging Netflix shows and popping popcorn and doing whatever it is. Tabo got married.
Happened. Yeah.
Now we just ask for these 30 days and 30 nights. And it's all happening at once. So if anything, the wives should be very glad about how the sports schedule is shaped up this
right.
fall. Speaking of NFL, as Tabo and Alex work out a fantasy football trade
do
here,
it.
Fifth down.
Do it.
New segment. Fifth down.
Yes, Bear.
We're
going
to do it every week during the NFL season. It's our weekly takeaways from the NFL, the weekend of NFL action. Fifth down. We'll start with Alex. Your weekend takeaway from NFL action.
It's going to be this way until he proves me otherwise. We can take away Russell Wilson's still the number one MVP candidate. Because, wow. Am I right? Wow.
Yeah, you took mine. Mine was Russell Wilson is MVP.
Yeah,
he's never had an MVP vote.
But, well, this
not what, just well, has not won.
Like, right. It's so hard to believe that.
But never no, a vote.
The reason being, though, this is why. Because the reason being, every time that he like puts up MVP numbers, there's another player that just like comes out of the woodworks and like shocks everybody. So they're like, oh, this is new. This guy doesn't ever play this good. We should give him the MVP. And you got Russell Wilson.
Josh Allen's going to win MVP.
That's going to piss me off. That's going to piss me off. Because Russell Wilson's been like one of the most consistent quarterbacks in, what, 8 years? And now, and it's like he always does well. But then you get Lamar Jackson, who, I mean, come on. I mean, that.
Great year.
But it's just like every year it's just like someone new. But who's the most consistent runner-up? Russell freaking Wilson.
But not a vote?
It's crazy. It's just so dumb. Mm-hmm. And, man, if he keeps playing the way he is now, there's no way Josh Allen wins. If he's throwing 5 touchdowns a game, I don't.
But, again, if Josh Allen's the new thing.
I don't want to hear it.
If the Bills go 13-3 and Josh Allen continues to play the way he's played through three games.
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it.
And
I
he's
still,
the new
I
guy, still, on the new kid on the
crime.
Block.
A crime. Yeah,
it's because
Josh
the difference
Allen
between Josh Allen and like what Lamar Jackson were doing is Lamar Jackson is a flashier player. And that's why I think more people are like, ooh.
But Josh Allen's like setting Bills records.
I get that.
A team, and it's not like the Bills haven't had a good quarterback. Jim Kelly?
Like Jim Kelly like, got them to what? Four straight Super Bowls and they lost?
Okay, but... That Bills offense in the 90s,
sure was potent.
Which is a fantastic, was one of the best offenses we've seen in the NFL.
I'll give you that.
Led by Jim Kelly.
It's a different offense.
And
different
Josh
NFL
Allen
back
is
then.
Breaking Jim Kelly records.
Listen.
Through three games.
I get it. Josh Allen.
I'm just saying.
Hey, I'm with you.
Just saying.
I just better not see it happen.
I wouldn't be shocked. But again, my takeaway that I have, you can read it on my screen. Russell Wilson is MVP.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it. That's my takeaway.
Tabo, your weekend, your fifth down weekend takeaway.
I mean, there's a lot to choose from.
Just like you're supposed to choose, except on my trade.
Working the you're seeing it behind the scenes of NFL fantasy football GM.
Weekend takeaway. The Chiefs have not lost a step, especially playing Baltimore and making Lamar Jackson say that you're their kryptonite. Well, that's not a great look. You should probably never
slash
say
playoffs.
That. You should never say
Chiefs
that.
And playoffs.
Never admit
are
that
the
some,
Ravens and Lamar.
Never
Jackson's
admit that you're like, we just can't get past them, can't figure them out. You know.
Well, you should never be able to figure them out.
Right? Yeah. So Patrick Mahomes on fire. I don't know how they do it.
Travis Kelce,
great player.
One of the best, probably the best tight end, receiving tight end. When I, like fantasy wise, you
we're
want
talking,
Travis Kelce on your team.
He's the best tight end both in NFL and in fantasy. I don't understand.
We're not gonna mix these two worlds. All right.
Kittle's probably the better like overall tight end. But Kittle's not gonna
but
give
not,
you fantasy.
But he's not
points.
Playing. He's hurt.
But he's not gonna but he's not also like if we're talking fantasy.
Right, he doesn't get those points.
Kelce.
Exactly.
I don't know
just
why you wouldn't
offense.
Want Kelce.
Just because of that offense.
Yeah.
There's a reason why I don't want Kelce, and it's only because that means half my team is gone on a bye week. Because I've got Alex. I've got Mahomes.
For people not in the loop, Alex is trying to trade Kelce to Tabo.
Yeah, Kelce and Boyd.
Which is why
for
we bring up Kelce's
Eckler
fantasy
and Lockett. I don't understand, Tabo. That is here. You hear that, and I hear, okay, that's a great trade for both sides. This makes sense.
Should we put it to an Instagram poll? And if people vote yes, you have to accept?
I don't have to, but I guess it would be
well,
interesting.
Well, that's the fun of it.
Yeah, I think you should just accept it right now because that's the best thing for you to do.
Anyway,
you'd be the winner of the week, Tabo.
Yeah, unless you give me, I'll keep Kelce. If you want me to keep Kelce, I'll keep Kelce, and then I will be the reason you don't make the playoffs because I have all three of those homies that pop off. I'm even worried at that point.
That's true. We should probably not want Alex to have the entire Chiefs offense, considering
the best offense in the NFL.
I gotta see who Wiz plays because if I somehow play him again.
You will. We're in the same division. We're in the same division.
No, but I'm saying if it's on the Chiefs bye week, then I'm okay.
Yeah, okay. I guess check when you play.
I guess that's fine, but if I'm still beating everyone else instead of that one week, I have more wins with everyone else. Like, You got Bugs, who are still making their winning. Zach's not losing. He's playing great.
I mean, I beat Zach, but yeah, continue.
I don't want to hear it. Okay.
All right, winners and losers.
I'm just saying, man. I'm tired of this. He needs to make that trade. It's perfect for him.
Talba, your winner of the week.
Winner of the week is actually me personally.
Why? Is it because you just got traded for Travis Kelce?
Yeah, that makes sense.
No, it's just because I got a new job today.
Oh, really? What is it?
I'm a development manager for a marketing firm.
Wow.
Making about 32 a month. So.
I thought you were doing $32 a month?
$3,200.
Oh. I thought you were being a baseball scout.
I thought so, too. A lot of interesting things are going on with the company. A lot of he say, she say. So I'm putting it on the back burner right now. It's still something I want to pursue in the spring, especially when baseball season comes around. But until then, you know, I got to put food on the table. So I found this opportunity and be interesting. We'll see what happens.
Next. Well, congratulations. You're loser of the week.
Mine is still kind of the same that I had last week, and it's just the fans of football watching their beloved star players go down to injury, especially Niners
fans. Or in your
fans.
Case, just watching your star player.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Come on, you set me up for that one.
And it's
that was a softball. Could have kept that.
And it's funny. It's funny because it's true.
We'll talk about it later.
We're going to keep talking about it here in a second.
We'll talk about
a lot of injuries have been going around the league, hurting a lot of fans' viewership motivation and also their team's chances, right? If you can't have your star players on the field, then your odds to win go down. But, you know, injury bugs going around. Hopefully everyone can recover. Get back to the field.
It is crazy how many people are going down. It's wild.
7 torn ACLs in week 2.
That's just unbelievable.
Half of them were 49ers.
Sucks.
My winner is the Josh Allen believers, like myself. Wasn't many of us, but I've been on the Josh Allen train since day one. It was a bumpy start. It was a rocky road for the first couple of seasons with Josh Allen. But like I said, when we were talking about Russell Wilson, Josh Allen could be that guy that just comes in, takes the NFL world by storm this season. The Bills, with that defense and with the offensive weapons that Josh Allen has, and if he continues to play like he has. I mean, he has one interception through 3 games, and that interception wasn't even an interception. Can we agree on how horrendous that interception call was?
Yeah, I mean, it was bad. But if we're thinking about it.
So really, zero interceptions.
Same thing with Russell Wilson, right?
I'm just saying. You yourself said Russell Wilson always plays good, but then someone else comes along.
It's true. Russell Wilson's
Josh Allen's
pick
gonna be that guy.
Greg Olsen's fault.
That's true. Pick 6.
Yeah. It was, by the way. I was so pissed. I was
Heck
like, really, dude?
Heck of a play.
Like, are you joking? It just went to him because Greg Olsen, his old frail hands, can't catch anymore.
He made a great catch against Dallas. Yeah. I mean, that Dallas game.
Dude, I'm tired of the stressful games, man. I can't do that 2 weeks in a row, dude. I can't. I'm going to have high blood pressure. Dude,
Cowboys are just classic, playing to the level of their opponent.
They're just
Washington,
a good team.
Washington football team is in first place in the NFL East. Tabo?
Hmm.
I mean, if anything, it helps Tabo's case. They lost to the first place team. My loser, I'm going to play a little soundbite here for my loser of the week. If you didn't know, that's Mike Leach.
Yes, sir.
Head coach of Mississippi State. Yep. My loser is SEC homers.
Yes, sir.
Mike Leach, a Pac-12 coach, took a Pac-12 offense and a former Pac-12 quarterback, brought him to the SEC. And what did he do in his first ever game against the defending national champions? Oh, just threw for a SEC record 623 yards. Hilarious. That they had 600.
Madden.
They had 632 yards in the game. 632 total yards in the game. 623 of those were through the air, which means they had 9 rushing yards. And went into LSU, beat the Tigers, defending national champs. I'm all in. I tweeted it out. I'm all in on Mississippi State football this year, which is why I texted you. I was changing my bandwagoning team. You said I couldn't.
Can't. You can't. You just can't.
I don't care. It was my podcast, and I made the rules. And I'm all in on Mississippi State.
Fine.
I filled out their little questionnaire thing that went along with this tweet, and they're sending me a Mississippi State sticker.
Oh.
And I ordered a Mississippi State hat. I'm all in on Mike. Mike Leach is my favorite coach in the country.
If they win again, I'll trade with you. Just if they win again. But they have to win one more time.
Trade with me. So you're hopping on?
Like, I'm gonna hop on.
You're coming with me.
I'm going to hop the bandwagon, right? Isn't that what a bandwagon is? You hop around.
Yeah.
Well, you choose the best.
I'm hitched my horse to this wagon.
I hitched my horse.
To Mike Leach and Mississippi State.
I'm just going
to
hover in.
Awesome. I mean, Mississippi State is just awesome.
Some of it isn't. Yeah, that's pretty
like
dope.
Like Stark Vegas.
Yeah.
Their uniforms are awesome. The maroon, great. They're an Adidas school, which I can always get behind an Adidas school. SEC, that was my big thing with Auburn, was its Under Armour. And in college football, I do put a lot of weight into the uniforms and branding. And it's hard with Under Armour. Like, it was very hard for me to find any good Auburn stuff when we originally did our bandwagoning segment.
Yeah.
But I can get behind Mississippi State. Mike Leach is my favorite coach in all of college football. Perhaps, no, not all of football.
I mean, because he made a good comment, right, where he was like, well, Chiefs and the Chiefs, yeah. Ravens,
well,
and
the Chiefs
Patriots
weren't available,
were,
so we decided
all,
to play
had someone
LSU.
Scheduled, so.
How was the Saturday? Well, I'd say it was above average. Like, Mike Leach is just awesome.
Yeah, he's perfect.
I wouldn't say he's my favorite college football coach just because there's Belichick and there's Andy Reid. But then Mike Leach is probably definitely number 3.
Yeah.
It's just awesome. SEC, football, Mississippi State, we're coming for it. What division are we in? SEC, are we in the West? Let me look this up. SEC divisions.
Sure.
I think we're in, we are in the, let me see, current members. SEC West, Mississippi State University. Okay. Yes.
There you go.
We're in the tough side with Alabama, Auburn, LSU, and Texas A&M.
Yeah, well, LSU down.
It's true. I mean, it's pretty balanced. In the East, you got Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, Tennessee. And then, you have Ole Miss in the West and Vanderbilt in the East. So they both have a crappy team. And Arkansas in the West as well. So I'm all in on Mississippi State. The losers are the rest of the SEC because guess what? Mike Leach and the Bulldogs, we're coming for that. We're coming for that chip. SEC chip.
All right.
I don't know who we play this week. Let me look that up too. Mississippi State football schedule. As you can tell, I'm really all in on this. Arkansas. Easy.
Walking.
2-0. You said if we win this week. And then
we got
Kentucky after that.
Hopping on.
And then A&M after that. We could be 4-0.
We'll see y'all on the college football playoff. Good
if Mississippi State makes it the college football playoff, that'd be so sick.
I mean, we could.
That's so sick.
We the Bulldogs, we could be 4-0 going into that Alabama matchup on Halloween.
I like it.
On ESPN, primetime.
I like it.
3 o'clock, 5 o'clock, ESPN. 4-0 Bulldogs versus the 4-0 Crimson Tide.
I like it.
Stark Vegas versus Tuscaloosa. It just means more down here in the SEC, Tabo. I know you ACC guys, as much as a powerhouse that Boston College is, and Duke, and Syracuse. The daunting schedule that
really
Clemson has to face every week going up against Georgia Tech and Florida State. Florida State, is there any fixing Florida State? I mean, by losing 50 to your rival on primetime ABC?
Not a good look.
Yikes. College game day in town and you lose by 50?
Woof.
The once proud Seminoles. Your winner and your loser, Alex.
Well, my winner.
If it has anything to do with the Eagles, save it.
Save it?
Yeah, because we're going to talk about it later in the deal or no deal.
It's my winner.
Well, tease it a little bit. Save the bulk of your...
Why can I just say who's my winner?
Yes.
Jalen Hurts is my winner.
Okay, yeah. And slash you for saying that he was going to start by what, week 6?
Week 6.
We're in week 4?
We are well on our way. Anyway, my loser, we were going to kind of make a loop back to fantasy football again. It's our boy, Ethan Bennett. Going into Monday night, I was sad and had zero hope for my team because as I was down 61 points.
Your prediction for week six is looking so good right now.
So good.
I just looked at the next three games.
Yeah, they're about to get pooped. It's all good, though. But I was down 61.
We'll talk
I had Mahomes and Tyreek Hill. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, I could see, like, a respectable 50. Like, I won't lose by a lot now.
Yep.
But I ended up winning by 9 points.
There you go.
So I'm so sorry.
So you scored 70?
70 points.
Because if you're down 61 and you won by 9, so you scored 70 points on Monday.
Yeah.
Between two guys.
Between two dudes. Can't tell me that isn't amazing.
Against the defense that I had. Beautiful. I still won, though. Undefeated.
Still won.
Last there undefeated team in our league.
There you go.
Let's get to real deal or no deal.
Mm.
New segment. Mm. Real deal or no deal, like Tabo.
It. Like it.
The Eagles and Carson Wentz are 0-2-1. Their next three games prior to week or leading up to week six are the Niners, the Steelers, and the Ravens. Can we admit that Wentz isn't that good? Like, he certainly doesn't have any help, but he's not doing himself any favors.
You watched the throw he just gave to the linebacker.
Speaking of the mic.
You saw the throw.
There you go.
That he gave to the linebacker on the opposing team. You saw that.
Yeah, he was trying to throw to Greg Ward?
I don't think he was. I think he was trying to give it to the linebacker on the other team from what I saw. I'm telling you right now. It was pretty bad.
I mean, the Eagles should be 2-1, right?
Should be?
At least.
Yeah.
Because Washington and Cincinnati. The Rams.
I mean, Washington, like
the Rams are the Rams.
Rams
you should
can
be 2-0. But now you're going to go into week 7 against the Giants 0-5-1.
Maybe.
Because you're not, not maybe. You're not beating the Niners, Steelers, or Ravens.
Well, Niners are depleted. That's our only hope.
They proved this last week that they can still run their game.
You're telling Mullins threw for like 400 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Played against the Giants.
Yeah, I get it.
You play against the Bengals and you tied.
Well, we still have a better defense than the Giants. So that's the only thing. That's like
do you?
The only hope we have.
Do you have a better defense?
I'm
so not.
What's the question there? You're...
I just wanted to talk about it. I just wanted just what from an Eagles
can
perspective.
Can we win the game in the next 3 weeks? Is that should we? Ask
yeah.
That
what's
question?
Your record prediction for the next 3 weeks?
I hope that we can beat the depleted Niners. Because the Steelers.
The Niners are a touchdown favorite. That's as big as it gets when it comes to the NFL.
Wow, a touchdown.
Well, because, you know, anything can happen in sports, right?
How many wins do you think you're going to get? Be honest. In these next three games, give me your honest prediction.
Well, in the next.
Taking consideration that
we're probably.
Eagles, Niners. Eagles, Niners. Win or loss.
We should win, but we probably won't.
You should win?
Yeah.
You tied against the Bengals.
We still
should beat the 49ers.
We still have a better roster than they do. We have what it takes to beat them.
Yeah, you mean better depth chart? Because once Jalen Hurts starts starting, then you might actually start winning games.
Tabo.
They have 7 injured players. You should beat a team that has so many injured people.
Tabo.
Is it not fair to say that we should beat them?
No. It's not.
We should not beat them.
You should have beaten the Bengals.
That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about...
That is exactly what you asked.
No, I said,
should you beat the Niners? If you can't beat the Bengals,
then you, shouldn't
you should
be
not
beating
beat the
Niners.
Injuries or not. No way.
All right, well, fine. Difference in opinion.
So you give me your honest prediction. Win or lose?
Lose.
Okay. Win or lose against the Steelers?
Lose.
Win or lose against the Ravens?
Lose.
Giants?
Win.
Cowboys?
Lose.
Giants again?
Usually split, but we're
on the road that week.
We're getting pretty deep. We usually we beat the Giants twice the last 2 years. Yeah, win.
At the Browns.
Win.
Whoa, I don't know about that.
I'll give you that one.
Maybe.
Seahawks.
Lose.
Packers.
Lose.
Saints.
Lose.
Cardinals.
Lose.
Cowboys.
Win. We always split with the Cowboys.
Washington again.
Win.
So 5-11. Is your prediction?
If they keep playing,
if
the way
they go,
they are,
if they go 5-11 and have a shot to draft Trevor Lawrence,
no, they don't need him. They
are
Jalen Hurts.
Are you out on Wentz?
If we go 5-11, and
what's your breaking point this season for Wentz? Like, is there a amount of losses that you take this year and you say, okay, Wentz obviously isn't the guy?
I think it's deeper than that, right? You have to see who's on the field with him, whose fault is it mainly if he throws interceptions or has turnovers. But Wentz. No, I think if you have only...
I mean, if Wentz fumbles the ball or throws a pick, it's Wentz.
You do know he has the most fumbles.
Yeah, I know, but like...
He's tied for most interceptions in the NFL.
And he has most fumbles out of any player since last season.
Half of them are tipped, if you ever...
But I don't care after the one I saw last week where you handed it to the guy.
Yeah, and there's another one that was tipped in that game, too, at the
line.
Not
talking about that one. I'm talking about the one he gave it to him. He looked the guy in the eye and said, you ready for the ball? I'm about to give it to you. I'm telling you, man.
A pass tipped at the line of scrimmage, though, is partially on the quarterback. If not mostly on the quarterback.
Yeah, and then also people will throw interceptions if the wide receiver runs the wrong route. That happened in the Washington game.
Sure, yes.
So like there are times where it's sometimes not the quarterback's
fault. What is the breaking point, though?
Yeah, if we only win 5 games, Wentz has 21 touchdowns and 14 interceptions, and we have the opportunity to draft Lawrence, then I say let's take it.
Let's say if the Eagles go 5-11. You have the 5th overall pick. Lawrence goes in the top 3. And then you're sitting at 5, and you have the opportunity to take Justin Fields or Trey Lance. Are you taking either of them, or are you rolling with Wentz again?
Hurts.
Well, no. If at that point... No, if it's not Lawrence, then we draft at a different position that we need.
Penny Sewell.
And maybe start Jalen Hurts if he does better in training camp.
All right.
No, he's taking.
You're beginning to open up to the possibilities.
He's taking over this year, man.
At the end of the day, you want to make the moves that puts your team in the best
Eagles are
position
starting
to win games
before the season is over. And I told you it will be by week 6, if not before.
Are you ready to admit that Nick Foles was the better quarterback?
No, he wasn't.
I still think I'm not going to sit here and say Nick Foles is the better quarterback. But when you were thinking about trading and what you could have gotten out of it. When you traded Nick Foles, you should have kept Nick Foles. Traded Wentz because at that time...
He had more value.
You could have gotten plenty out of him. And I'm telling you, that would have been the best decision for the Eagles.
But Foles also may not... Foles may not be the better quarterback. But I do think there is something to be said about like the quote-unquote it factor.
Sure.
Right? Like when Foles steps into the game, he's a little more composed. He makes the right reads, makes the right throws... And, like, he can get it done, right?
Yeah,
which is not something we've been able to say about Wentz, because he has 0 career playoff wins. And he loses to teams that he should not lose to.
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately, if we're shopping around players, should have kept Foles so you have that depth. Because if you know that, right, he can step into big games and perform, like, trade Alshon. I think that was one of the options. Should have gotten rid of him instead of Foles. Because now Alshon doesn't even play. Now he's always hurt. So
well, every wide receiver is always hurt. Which that is one mark in the defense of Wentz.
Yeah.
Is that
Jackson
Greg,
and
is that Greg
Jeffrey
Ward
out
is like
this
your
week,
good,
so
is your best wide receiver. Speaking of Foles, real deal or no deal, 3-0 Chicago Bears.
Depends if they keep Foles in.
Well, yeah, they are.
Yeah.
He's their starter.
Yeah,
there's 0% chance they can ever go back to Trubisky. Right. Like, even if Foles doesn't...
They just brought Foles in because Trubisky just...
Was garbage.
I think...
Was not playing well.
No. I think that Nagy did not want to start Trubisky at all this year. But I think that Bears management and Ryan Pace said you need to...
Didn't they just pay Trubisky?
No. Well, they picked up his option. They didn't like Kevin extension.
Oh, but they... And now, when they... Because everyone was freaking out when they announced Trubisky was a starter after bringing on Foles...
Yeah. Well, so I'm sure it was Ryan Pace, the GM of the Bears, who said, we need to start Trubisky, right? Because if they didn't start Trubisky and they pretty much admit that they're giving up on him and he got beat out by Foles, then that makes them look bad, right? You got to give him one last chance to make the GM look good.
Of course.
Considering that you traded up to number 2 and you drafted Trubisky over Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. So I don't think Matt Nagy wanted to start Trubisky at all. But then they went 2-0, and then they fell behind against the Falcons, and Nagy was finally like, "Hey, Trubisky stinks. and we're losing this game. We need to put it. Now's the time that we can put in Foles. And now that Foles is in, Trubisky's not coming back in.
Right through three fourth quarter touchdowns.
Yeah. And if Foles gets hurt, Trubisky comes in. But if Foles just doesn't do as hot, let's say that they go, 3-5, or let's say they go 5-8 down the stretch, right? Finish 8-8. Like, they're still not going to put in Trubisky. And then Trubisky's time as a starter in the NFL is done. It's done. Yeah. But, if we're talking real deal or no deal with the Chicago Bears, I'd say no deal.
I'm no deal on that just because I don't think this is like fluky to me.
Yeah, it was Giants, Lions.
That's the Packers
Falcons.
Division.
Yeah, and the Falcons are just choke artists. If you're a Falcons fan,
cost
RIP.
You they cost you what was it?
Comeback $8,000 in all three of their games.
Yeah, no, well, no, because they played Seahawks week one. We never gave them the lead.
So. How much did the Falcons cost you?
A lot of money, actually. That's right. It's because I went to Wendover. I did a 10-team parlay. I hit 9 out of 10.
And the Falcons were the one who did.
The Falcons screwed me.
So just because of that last one.
It was a $10 bet.
$10 bet, it would have been $8,300. And they screwed me.
If the Falcons win the game, Alex wins $8,300. $8,300.
We could have been at Ruth's Chris right now.
I would have gladly taken the boys to Ruth's Chris. But
right.
No.
Well, now you know.
The Falcons...
The Falcons are the Falcons. They are who we thought they were.
I was like, there's no way. There's no way this keeps happening to them. And it's the Bears. I'm like, it's the Bears. Like, this isn't going to be real.
The real deal. That's exactly what I said. The 2-0 Bears. Now 3-0. Real deal. Let's get to a real deal team. Real deal or no deal, the 3-0 Buffalo Bills.
Very real. Very, yes. Very, very real.
Yes. Tavo.
As real as it gets.
Yeah, they're going to win the division.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. Real deal or no deal, the 2-1 Patriots.
Also real deal, Cam Newton really is doing great.
I tried to tell you guys.
He's doing great.
Tried to tell you
they
all.
They barely lost to us because we had an amazing defensive stand.
They played outside of their mind.
On the road.
But against the Raiders, you could
see
that.
They had to play. But the thing is...
What?
What are you talking about?
No, repeat what you just said.
Didn't they just play the Raiders?
Yes. But when they played the Raiders, you saw what?
I think Cam Newton's stats were not as good as the Seahawks team.
Well, that's the beauty of the Patriots is that they can beat you in any sort of way, right? They won week one against the Dolphins by running. They nearly won against the Seahawks by throwing. And then they won against the Raiders again by running.
Did Sony Michel have a good game? Oh, it was Rex Burkhead.
Well, and Michel. Michel broke off two big runs. Michel had like over 100 yards.
Yeah, only Michel had speed. He's really not that fast.
Really?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, he's really
sharp. He got chased down.
The thing
like
I noticed about
tackles.
What I can notice from Cam Newton,
from behind.
Cam Newton plays to the level of the talent he's against. He really does. I feel like when he plays bigger teams like the Seahawks, I feel like he played better. In my opinion, I just feel like he did because there were some sacks
I think
he took.
He just does
there were some
exact...
sacks he took against the Raiders. That was just kind of like I don't know. It just didn't make sense to me.
The Raiders have a good secondary though.
Yeah, like they have a decent secondary.
The Seahawks have a good front seven, a bad secondary.
No, I feel like it's the other way around. I feel like we have a better secondary than our front line. We have a great linebacker core, but our D line
is awful. Well, I mean, you
awful.
Had,
we,
what's
our
his
D,
name?
You
Bruce
had
Irvin.
15 seconds a throw. Our D line is clearly garbage.
But,
and Bruce Irvin tore his ACL, gone in like the first quarter, so it didn't even matter.
Yeah.
No. Our defensive backs are
still
much
better. Than
better.
Your secondary.
No, we have Quandre Diggs, okay, Jamal Adams. We had Marquise Blair, who was our starting nickel. Who was great, and then he tore his ACL, not from anything else, but our own player
when he hit
his knee.
Because then he came in because the guy got ejected, and then he tore his ACL. Was that a different game?
No, he didn't come in. We just rotated him. He was already playing. He's our starting nickel corner.
Okay,
and so we moved him because the guy got ejected.
He came in, and then he got injured.
Yeah, no. He was already in, but yeah, he took over that spot and then got hurt. But it was by our own player that hit him in the knee.
Happens.
Stupid.
Real deal or no deal? Ravens offensive struggles versus the Chiefs.
It's a no deal. The Chiefs, I think, I'm with...
But it's not like the Chiefs have a world-beater defense.
No. The reason I say no deal is just because I truly believe that Lamar Jackson is just afraid of the Chiefs.
Kryptonite.
Exactly. He's a kryptonite. He said it. I think that's legit.
Don't ever admit that.
Yeah. I think that's legit, though. That clearly means... So I don't think it's like a real deal that they're going to be struggled. I just think it's... To them, to the Chiefs, they just are scared of them.
They're so good, and yet... playoffs.
Because I think Lamar's head, he's just like, if I mess up, we will lose because the Chiefs are going to score.
Yeah, I think
so. We have to score.
Other teams just get psyched out. They're like, this defense isn't great, but if we don't score, they will. So like, we have to score.
We have to score. So then, you start getting to the point where it's like, we've punted two straight drives.
You mean the Ravens' defense isn't that great?
No, the Chiefs' defense.
Oh,
like they're not afraid of the Chiefs' defense, but they're afraid of what's on the other side.
I thought you were saying the Ravens were thinking our defense is not that great. I was like, forced a turnover in like 20 consecutive games.
Because the thing is, the Chiefs are going to score no matter how good your defense is. Yeah. Like, they will because they figure it out. It might not be necessarily the highest scoring game, but if you're not keeping pace with Patrick Mahomes in that offense, you're going to lose that game.
Yeah. Certainly playing the Chiefs, there's pressure to score every possession.
Right, and that's what I'm liking about
the
Seahawks.
Which is why my expectations for the Patriots to win this week are zero.
I mean, I don't know. Against the Seahawks, they had to do that.
I had zero expectations versus the Seahawks.
Till the very end,
like,
I was like, wait a second.
No, like, I was at my parents watching the game, and we were down two possessions in the fourth quarter.
Like
I'm like,
worried.
Yeah, like, I expected us to lose to the Seahawks. It is what it is. And then I was like, wait a second, we have a chance to win this game.
Yeah, but I still feel like that's why you shouldn't be necessarily worried, though, because you know they can go for a punch for punch if they have to.
Yeah,
they can
but again,
it out. And Cam Newton
I'm
can do it. He's
much
capable.
Happier if I go into the game saying the Chiefs are going to win.
Sure, I get that. I'm with you on it.
So what
but
either you're right or your team wins.
Yeah, well, it's not. I don't care about being right. It's much less stressful.
Yeah, because your right. hopes aren't up. You're not
like I was getting extremely angry this week during the Bills Raiders game because I was like, or the Bills Rams because I was like, they were up 28-3, like what's going on here? And I would like got very angry.
Yeah,
but if I go into the game with no expectations, then I'm fine. Then I can, then it is what it is. It's like, yeah, well, I because then it's like the Patriots are doing well, and then I'm excited. But then if they're doing bad, it's like, yeah, I expected it. I expected the Chiefs to win. Real deal or no deal, Drew Brees and the Saints struggles and losses to the Raiders and the Packers.
Real deal. I don't know what's going on with the Saints, but when I'm watching, there's like no chemistry in what they want done. Granted, Michael Thomas has been out for 2 weeks, but even when he was in, he barely touched the ball when he was in week one. It didn't make any sense. I don't know what's going on with the Saints, but it's going to be a sad exit for Drew Brees.
Yeah, they were my Super Bowl pick. Yeah. I picked them to beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Not looking great as of right now. Real deal or no deal, Tabo, Blake Bortles signs with the Denver Broncos.
What, to turn things around?
The boat. Just like, will he be the starter and will he keep things afloat during Drew Locke's injury? Like, will we see Blake Bortles return to 2017 Blake Bortles, where they beat the Steelers in the wild card and almost beat the Patriots?
Yeah, I don't know about that, but I feel like he can do enough, right? Like you said, to keep their head above water. So I guess real deal, as in like that's your best option. They're making the right choice of bringing him in at quarterback.
They're starting Brett Rypien Thursday Night Football versus
whoever
the
that
Jets.
Is. Who is that?
Former Boise State quarterback.
Right. Why would you bring in Bortles if you're not going to start?
Well, the reason that they're not going to start him tonight versus the Jets is because he's only practiced a few times. They're like he's only been in the facility less than a week.
But he's heartbreak Blake.
The boat. Blake of all, the Blake of all time.
It's still no deal, but that's
whatever. Real deal or no deal, Deion Sanders named the head coach of Jackson State.
Let's go real deal, baby. Let's go real deal.
Historically black college and university.
Real deal.
HBCU.
I like it.
Real deal. That'd be cool.
I need a Hard Knocks version of Deion Sanders.
That'd be so sick.
Jackson State.
Why not like, Last Chance U, but like that style of like show? But not obviously Last Chance U.
Well, Hard
not
Knocks. It's pretty much the same.
I guess, yeah, sure. Yeah.
When is Last Chance going to come to freaking snow?
Well, they're done with football now.
And now they do basketball.
Yeah.
Which starting
is stupid.
This,
no one cares
starting
about
this winter?
Basketball.
No, yeah. No, we don't care about like
Jason. You still
Juco
do
Wasatch
Academy.
Yeah.
Anyway,
what?
We need to
get
you
show, you're
going
to like, show
well,
up.
Well, Snow was one of their like finalists.
Yeah. Are you going to show up?
Last year,
are you show up
and then
Slick?
They went to the team in Oakland.
Slick basketball, dude? Slick?
No.
Why not?
A quick update, just because we talked about the baseball playoffs and the NBA finals going on. Quick update on our championship picks for baseball. Alex, you have the Dodgers, who I believe start tonight.
I think so.
You have the Rays, who I believe are 0-1. Did the Rays win last night, Tabo?
I thought they lost.
I'm pretty sure they lost.
I thought they lost.
You're our baseball
guy. Who are they? Oh, they're playing the 8 seed. They're playing.
Yeah, no, the Rays.
Who just snuck in? Oh, is it Houston? Are they playing Houston?
The Rays, I think, are playing the Blue Jays. So, Alex had the Dodgers, who play tonight. I'm trying to pull up my scores app. And so so Alex had the Dodgers, who they don't play tonight. When did the Dodgers have a bye? They're not in the wild card. I'm an idiot. He has the Rays, who won last night. They beat the Blue Jays. And then has the Brewers, who also, I believe, did the Brewers? The Brewers have to play. When do the Brewers play? The Brewers play tomorrow versus the Dodgers. There it is. That's what I was thinking. You had the Phillies, who are out. The Nationals, who are out. Not great for you or for me as a Nationals fan. Great for me. The Phillies didn't make it, though. And then you have the Astros, who just won their series today. So they beat the Twins 2-0 in their series, so they are on to the next round of the playoffs. I had the Yankees, who demolished the Indians 12-3 last night, or two nights ago, and then I believe don't play again until tonight.
They are up 6-4.
Oh, currently up 6-4? Why is it not showing up on this dang
thing, on this darn stuff?
The Athletic scores tab of their app needs to do better. I had the Twins, who just got eliminated by the Astros, and then I had the Braves, who won today in like 14 innings, or yesterday in 14 innings. Today in recording time, yesterday in listening time. Mm-hmm. NBA championship picks, Alex had the Clippers, who are out, the Raptors, who are out, and the Nuggets, who are out. You had the Bucks, who are out, the Rockets, who are out, and the Jazz, who are out. I had the Sixers, who are out, the Celtics, who are out, and the Lakers, who currently right now they're up at half. And so when you're listening to this, let's say that they won and they lead the Heat 1-0. Just putting it out there.
Why did no one pick the Heat? Especially as far as like someone like Wiss. He's always trying to, you know.
Just I should have picked the Heat. Because I was like back and forth between Sixers. But my feeling before we did it was, well, the Heat are gonna have to play the Bucks in the second round.
Yeah.
And I didn't think they'd beat the Bucks. Where I was like, the Sixers is probably going to be a little bit more of an even series in the second round against was it first round or second round that they played the Celtics? Whenever it was that they played the Celtics. I figured it'd be a little more even than it was, a sweep. But so those are the game. Those were our team picks. So I'm the only one left alive in the NBA. In baseball, I have one team out. You have two teams out. And Alex will have one team out after this round just because the Dodgers are playing the Brewers. So that's just a quick little update, I guess, on how our teams are doing. Let's get then to the make a list. We're going to make a list, the NFL players that we've been most impressed by through week 3 of the 2020 NFL season. We'll start at number 5. Taba, we'll start with you. The 5th guy that you've been most impressed with through 3 games.
So I would say, probably should be higher, but I guess he hasn't really like had his big breakout game yet. Probably gonna go with, probably CeeDee Lamb. So he's been playing good.
You've been most impressed by CeeDee Lamb?
No, at 5th.
I know. I'm just shocked that he's on your list.
Well, he's playing good. Like
as someone who hasn't watched Cowboys games, I guess.
Yeah, I think he's averaging like 4 catches a game, so he's getting in the mix. But we know, like, there's gonna be that game where he has like 8 catches for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. So I know that's coming up. But in that offense, you got to spread the ball around a lot. So,
I mean, Andy's playing behind Amari Cooper.
Yeah, you got to share the ball with a lot of good wide receivers. But I know, like, he's about to
pop off.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at what his stats have been able to be so far this year through week 3, he's got 3 games. That's the rushing. 16 catches, 230 yards. His average yards per catch, pretty good, 14.4. Long of 37. No touchdowns yet. Are you surprised that he doesn't have? I'm surprised he doesn't have a touchdown. I figured that they'd be targeting him a lot more. He does have 5 catches of 20 yards plus, though.
Yeah, because especially when you're game planning for the Cowboys, all right, so we need to shut down Amari Cooper. So that hopefully that would give CeeDee Lamb some more opportunities.
And then their tight end got hurt in week one.
Yeah.
So that's one less guy. I mean, I guess Dalton Schultz steps in, but my number five is your guy, Tabo, Tyler Lockett. I mean, what do you have, like three touchdowns against the Cowboys?
All from 1 yard out.
All from 1 yard out. He looked great, too, the week before against the Patriots. I mean, I guess it's easy to look good when you are going up against the – or when you have Russell Wilson as your quarterback. He's going to make whatever wide receiver look good. But, I mean, if you look at these numbers, I mean, 8 catches week one, 7 catches week two, 9 catches week three against Dallas, no touchdowns against Atlanta, 1 against New England, and then 3 against Dallas. I believe he's tied for the league leading as the league leader in touchdown catches with 4. Long of 43 yards, which came against Dallas. 192 receiving yards against Atlanta, 100 against Dallas. His yards per catch isn't up there with CeeDee Lamb. He's only averaging 10.8 yards per catch as opposed to 14.4 like CeeDee Lamb is. So he's not necessarily the deep threat that he is. But, I mean, Tyler Lockett being like a goal line running back or goal line wide receiver at his size is
that's weird.
Surprising to me.
If you see like the kind of like the normal play, they just like play action, they just have him just run along the back line of the end zone.
Yeah, because I mean, he's 5'10, 180 pounds. So he's not necessarily the guy that you're going to look to in the red zone or at the goal line. And yet the Seahawks have looked to Tyler Lockett to be their target when they get near scoring position. And that's why he's tied for the league leader in touchdown receptions. Your fifth guy that's most impressed you through three weeks of the 2020 season, Alex.
My fifth guy. And so like,
number five and then number four.
So I didn't rank them. So if that, I'm
sure.
Just going to go.
All right, just go.
So that's what you got for me, okay? Number five, Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray has been balling out.
I tried to tell you.
You did.
Cardinals.
You did. I mean, he's really killing it. I don't know if he just has more confidence knowing that he can just toss it up now. He's got guys that will just get the ball. That could help. So my number five, you said my number four?
Yep.
Josh Jacobs. I think he's impressed
great
me.
Great week one.
Yeah.
Kind of, well, not a great week three.
Right.
But
decent
that's
week two.
Patriots. They're going to take away what you
right.
do best.
And it was decent week two against the Saints, right? So it's like, so I've been impressed because it's just like, Gruden needs a guy that is like that ground and pound, like he loves his running backs. I didn't think Josh Jacobs was actually going to do that well in the NFL.
Yeah.
He's really surprising me.
My number four is Aaron Rodgers. I mean, not that it should shock us.
Right.
But, I mean, this is a guy who really came in. Chris Collinsworth, this is a guy.
This is
a guy. We heard about it all offseason, the motivated Aaron Rodgers coming in after the Packers took Jordan Love. But I don't think anyone expected this efficient of a Packer offense where they're putting up, you know, 40 a game at this point through 3 weeks. So, number four is Aaron Rodgers. Your number three, or your number four, and then your number three, Tabo.
All right. My number four is going to be CEH, Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Gotta love it.
I do.
Yeah, sure.
Everyone was hyped about the type of offense he was going into, seeing in college that they had a lot of plays for him out of the backfield. And so far, he's lived up to all the expectations. He's feels like his fit is just natural when it comes to the Chiefs. Fantasy, he's making you happy.
Got him in the third round.
People in Kansas City, making them happy. So, yeah, hats off to good old Clyde the Glide.
Imagine going from LSU offense to then the Chiefs offense.
You just don't.
That's got to be the biggest come up. Because, like, Joe Burrow goes from LSU to the Bengals, right? Who was there? T. Higgins, the Clemson wide receiver, goes from Clemson to the Bengals. And then you have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who goes from the LSU Tigers to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Honestly, doesn't stop winning.
Yeah. All he does is win. Your number
hasn't
three.
Lost since 2018. Maybe. Who knows?
Your number three.
We just talked about him a little bit. Number three would be Joey Burrow.
There we go.
Joey Buckets.
He has looked good.
Yeah.
Despite not having an offensive line. And only one weapon.
With
on
what
offense.
He's been given, right?
And no defense.
There's not too much, but it seems
there's
like
one good player on his team.
It seems to be finding some good chemistry with Tyler Boyd, and their offense is putting up.
AJ Green.
Putting up some numbers.
Oof. Yeah.
Where is he at?
That guy is old.
Where is AJ
that
Green?
That guy looks old.
Broken down.
Like, you say a step slow, like, he's like two steps slow at this point.
Two steps and a lunge.
My number three is Russell Wilson. Again, same as Aaron Rodgers. It's not like this is anything shocking, but just the efficiency that Russell Wilson. I mean, how many touchdowns passes does he have so far through three games?
14.
14. Should have 15 because DK Metcalf fumbled the ball at the goal line. So he should have 15. That's insane. 15 touchdowns through three games.
Wait, because they said he broke Mahomes' record?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Broke Mahomes and he either broke Manning? Mahomes and Manning, because I think Manning was at 13. And this was, but they said that they both went to throw 50 plus touchdown passes those seasons. So that was the year that Peyton Manning got the record, I think, for the most touchdown passes in the season.
Yeah, with the Broncos.
Yeah.
What was it? 2013 season?
It was the year they won the Super Bowl.
Won? No, the year they lost.
It had to
the year they won, I thought it was the year they could barely throw a football.
Oh, that's right. No, that's right. It was the year they lost because they came in with that number one offense.
Yeah.
And we had the number one defense.
Yeah.
And we poofed
on literally how it's supposed to be.
So that's my number three. Your number three and your number two.
So my number three is Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
Same reasoning. I mean, it's just, come on. He's pretty balling.
Simple
right
as that.
Now. And my number two is Russell Wilson. Again, same reasoning. What do you want him to else? What can you expect this guy to do? And I am impressed, though, because this is the reason I'm impressed is just because this isn't our offense. Like, this isn't what we're known for. Pete Carroll loves to run the ball. We always have. We had Marshawn Lynch, and that's why we made it work so well.
You had the 1 yard line.
Let's let out some profanities.
Yeah. I mean, the Seahawks lost by throwing at the 1 yard line, and then the Patriots lost by running at the 1 yard line.
Who'd have thought? Who'd have thought? But anyway, Russell Wilson at number two.
My number two is Cam Newton.
Okay.
Just because I think his ability to embrace the Patriot culture while also still maintaining the persona that is Cam Newton, right?
Just still keeping his personality and his way he plays the game.
Yeah, and while also doing it under the whole Patriot way. Yep. You know, because everyone talks about you can't have fun in New England with the Patriot way.
Cam Newton's doing it.
Cam Newton is doing just that. His teammates love him. He loves all his teammates. And you know, they're having fun. He's dancing. He's screaming. He's wearing gold chains and fancy suits to the games. And yet, you know, Bill Belichick seems to love him. I think things are going really well in New England for Cam Newton. I think he'll get a contract extension. Hopefully, fingers crossed, I'd love Cam Newton another 5 years in New England. So Cam Newton's number two just because of the way he's played, but mostly because of how smooth it seems this transition, both for Cam Newton and for the Patriots has gone. I mean, going from the Panthers to the Patriots is a tough transition. And then if you're the Patriots, going from Tom Brady to Cam Newton is a tough transition. Both parties have made it seem very smooth, very seamless. So Cam Newton is my number two. Tabo, you're number two, and then you're number one.
My number two is also Cam Newton.
Hey, my man.
Like you said, big adjustment for both sides. They seem to be doing well. Cam Newton's looking like his old self out there. And they're winning football games, and if they're not winning, they're highly competing.
Yep.
So shout out to Cam for not missing a step, and shout out to the Patriots for continuing their winning ways.
Your number one?
My number one is future MVP Russell Wilson.
Yes.
This season, I mean, he's been great throughout his career, but this season he's literally giving it his all. He's literally doing everything that he possibly can.
Let Russ cook.
To be like, yo,
Russ,
I should be the MVP. I will admit that, like, we were talking about how Russell Wilson will have his great year, and then someone will pop off, or someone will just do.
He's come out of the woodworks, and so everyone's like, ooh, this is different. Russell Wilson's consistent, but this guy's different. I like that.
So
it's
what? Yeah.
Me
so
off.
My prediction
when's
was
Aaron Donald
going
to win?
If everyone, or like, as even if the injury bug was just like a little bit more calm, I was thinking finally CMC was going to be MVP. And screw over Russell Wilson. But you know what? CMC's no longer no longer in the race. So here it is. There's no one to beat Russell Wilson. Not saying he doesn't deserve it, but it's like now America like has to face the facts. Russell Wilson, if he continues this play, should be the NFL MVP.
Yes.
Unless he loses to my number one, which is Josh Allen. Okay. I've already said a lot about Josh Allen, so I'm just going to leave it at that.
It's also my number one.
Cover yours.
When you talk about guys who really have impressed and surprised.
Yes.
Like, not only just impressed, but surprised.
Yeah. Josh Allen.
Josh Allen's got to be number one.
He absolutely.
Still makes bonehead plays.
It's exciting.
Keeps you on your toes, Topo.
Like, you can't tell me it's not freaking exciting when he's like, when he's run, when he's run 3 yards past the line of scrimmage and then like turns and throws it backwards to his running back who's on the sideline.
Yeah, like,
it's excitement.
His last chance heaves, you're just like, what are you doing? Like, he's getting pulled down, so he's like thrown in there. I'm like,
but I mean, that is a man. Like, the way he's able to like just throw throw Rams defenders to the side. Let's get to our college football playoff rankings. So top four of the college football playoff rankings. Let's start at number one, just because I feel like there's more agreement towards the top of the lists normally than there is at the bottom. So we'll save like any potential surprises for the last couple of teams.
So we're starting number one.
So we'll start number one just because I've realized as we do this, number one's always like Clemson or Alabama, right?
Right.
So to save any surprises for later, we'll start at number one. So, Alex, you're number one.
Number one is Clemson. I mean, that's...
Yep.
What do you want?
I have number one to Clemson as well.
Okay, it's like, are we supposed to be different?
Clemson.
Yeah. See, this is why I did number one first. Number two, Alex.
Alabama.
Bama.
Yep. Again, this is why I did start with number one. Your number three team, Alex.
Number three team is Florida. I like them Gators. And I think them Gators look good.
I also have Florida.
Okay. Okay.
Tabo?
I'm going to stick with Georgia.
Really?
Georgia's going to end up sneaking into that third spot.
JT Daniels hopefully can.
And this is, we're also kind of predicting what we think it's going to be, right? Like, that's
no, this is how it is stands now.
If we were to
so
be
this
like,
is no predicting. This is your current rankings, right? When you do the AP poll, you're
if
not
I
predicting.
Were making them.
Yes.
Okay.
You're number four, Alex.
This is where I did a little something different. They haven't played a game yet. They have not played a game yet.
Okay.
But once they start playing their games, it's going to make plenty of sense, and that's Ohio State at number four.
Okay. Your bandwagoning team.
That's my bandwagon team. Yep. Got my OSU hoodie chilling in my
house. I decided that I was only going to put teams that have played.
Oh,
because
I mean, if
I didn't say what you
that.
Needed to, I know. Didn't say, I left it up.
I was
going to
throw.
I
was going to throw a shocker because I was thinking I'm going to put Miami at number four.
Well, I have Miami at my number four.
There you go. Because Miami,
their
looks
offense
freaking
looks
good, dude.
Pretty freaking good.
Yeah, exactly.
Derek King.
Put them, where did I put them? In my top 10. I put them somewhere, and you're like, ooh.
No, that was UCF.
Yeah, you put UCF, and we were like, man, I don't know about all that.
Yeah, we pooped on your UCF take.
I mean, they're 2-0, so.
Who have they played?
Georgia Tech and Eastern Carolina.
Good job. You killing
still
it.
Still zero losses.
Georgia Tech and East Carolina.
At least they beat the teams they're supposed to, right? The Eagles can't do it, so I don't want to.
College football.
Do Eagles beat UCF?
You're number four, Tabo.
No, they don't. They don't beat them. Okay, Tom, I like that.
see, now what's got me all screwed up?
Miami, dude.
I'm interested in seeing how exactly that's going to work out with Big Ten and Pac-12 if they're playing like half a season that they're doing. Like, how much do the wins and losses, like, how much?
The Pac-12 is not making the playoffs.
Absolutely not. Are you kidding me? There's no way. Seven games and you're not. No.
When does Big Ten start?
October.
It's like
24th.
Yeah, it's kind of something like that.
I think it's the 24th.
That's still be interesting. I mean, I understand. Right,
they're playing
smart
eight.
They got smart people running.
But it's just like Pac-12 already is going to be the last ones considered, right? And now you're playing less games than everyone
else.
But
it's like if you're 7-1 and you're playing someone who's 10-2,
one loss, because SEC's playing 10. An 8-2 Florida team gets in over a 7-0 Oregon.
Yeah, so I'm just hoping, right, that they have a good system in place.
Yeah. Well, that's why Larry Scott's like, let's expand the playoffs to 8 teams now. And everyone's like, you lost your credibility for trying to give suggestions of what we should do in college football.
I mean, that's not bad. It's just like not this year. That's definitely not the time to start that.
I'm all for it, but...
Yeah. Make sure everyone's
let's
playing
not,
the same amount of
we're
games.
Not going to throw the Pac-12 a bone here because they messed up thinking that everyone was going to follow them in not playing.
God, I hate
your number four, Tabo.
My number four, I'll put in Florida.
Okay.
All right.
You got three SEC teams. I like it. Let's get to our game picks. Again, we are picking against the spread. We are not picking winners because that's too easy. We are going to pick against the spread. And we also have an outright upset winner as well. So we're going to pick, we're going to have, we will pick one outright winner, I guess. But it's going to have to be a underdog. And it can't be a team that we, listed. From a team that we're game that we're picking.
Okay.
So you can't like double down
right.
on, you know, one of these teams. That's
got
an
it.
Underdog.
Got it.
So let's get to it. First up, we have BYU, 24-point favorite over Louisiana Tech.
Going BYU on this one. I don't see, I mean, what I have seen from BYU is they score points.
Yes. And they don't let the other team score points.
Right. So this 24-point favorite, I think they can pass that because, I mean, they've been winning by more than 24 points.
Yeah, 52 points and then 41 points.
Right. So, I mean,
safe to say BYU, pretty freaking good.
Yeah. I mean, they're doing okay right now.
Tabo.
I'll have what Wiss having. What's the politically correct term?
For what?
For when you're picking spread. Because there's the... There's a cover and then what's the other?
To win.
You're just taking the points. Taking BYU. To cover would mean Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, they're taking to cover because that means they're not going to lose by more than...
Yeah, I'm just trying to get all the
terminology
done.
I mean, just you can just pick
whoever. But yeah, well, same. BYU.
I mean, I guess either team
24.
Could cover. I mean, that means just BYU wins, covers their end, or Louisiana
Tech
covers.
Yeah. So if BYU were to
cover,
that would be the same thing?
That would mean BYU would win by 24 or more.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. I'm also picking BYU, just because, again, they score a lot of points, and their opponent does not score many points. And that's a recipe for winning by more than 24 points. West Virginia and Baylor. Baylor, the 3-point favorite.
I've got West Virginia in this game. I took West Virginia. I think Baylor's a little bit fluky, and I think they're actually going to choke.
And
they're going to actually.
And I think it's Baylor's first game.
Yeah, and I think they're going to lose by like 10 points. It's going to actually.
So you're picking for West Virginia outright.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm also taking West Virginia. This is one of my favorite games of all time. Was that, what was the year, Tabo? 2013, and the final score was 70-63. West Virginia Baylor.
Unreal. I remember watching that at your house. We're like, they can't stop scoring.
Neither team could stop scoring. Geno Smith had like 1,000 passing yards that year.
Crazy.
Tavon Austin, man. Good times.
So I'm going with West Virginia. Tabo, West Virginia.
Agreed, yeah.
All right. So all of us have the underdog there covering West Virginia. You have them outright. I have West Virginia outright, too. I think they went outright. Tabo, do you think West Virginia wins outright?
Yeah.
So all three of us picking West Virginia outright. But again, that does not count towards our outright upset pick. Auburn versus Georgia. Georgia, the 6.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I take Georgia on this one. Auburn didn't impress me last week.
Didn't.
I don't know what it was. I'm looking at them, and I'm like, this looks like a team that's going to take some L's this year.
I thought they were very impressive. That's why I have Auburn covering the 6.5 points.
Yeah, no, I think Georgia's going to cover the win.
Give me the Tigers. Tabo.
Good. I'm taking Georgia, especially right having them in my comfortable playoff. They have to be perfect. So.
Yeah, and again, not picking winners. We're picking covering the spread.
So you think they're going to win by more than 6.5?
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. I have Auburn. I don't know if Auburn's wins, but I have
I don't know if
covering.
Auburn can, if they're as consistent as Georgia. So yeah, I'll have Georgia covering the spread.
Okay. On to some NFL picks. Jaguars versus the Bengals. The Bengals, 3-point favorites.
I actually think Minshew's going to show up a little bit this week, and I think the Jaguars are going to beat the Bengals.
But he's played well the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And listen, then when I picked him up, he had to poop the bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Happens.
I just picked him up off waivers.
I wish you good luck.
Well, he's my backup. Jaguars or Bengals? Bengals 3.5-point favorites. Tabo.
Ooh,
I also have the Jaguars.
I'm upset
covering.
At
and I think they
Minshew,
went out, right?
So I feel like it's going to take him another couple weeks to get back on his horse, so I'm taking Bengals outright. Right? Does that make sense?
No, because Bengals are already the favorite.
Oh, yeah. Bengals will cover this red.
Okay. Eagles versus 49ers. 49ers, a 7-point favorite.
Niners win by 17 or more.
Was a little extra. Didn't need to.
not extra accurate.
Tabo?
You know, it's time that we.
I mean, you were arguing that the Eagles should win this game.
Yeah.
So, of course, you should pick the Eagles to not only cover but win outright.
Maybe not by 7 points, but the Eagles are going to win this game.
So, well, the points doesn't matter at that point. You're taking the Eagles.
Okay, yeah, so if the Eagles lose by three, you still technically win that pick because you're picking the spread.
Yeah, I'm taking the Eagles.
Yep.
Okay.
We're teaching Tabo how to pick spreads. I love it. Which, I mean, it's helpful for probably because most of our listeners aren't sports bettors. And me and you aren't sports bettors. Alex is a sports bettor.
Yeah.
He's the one who loses the money.
Barely. And it's not even that much money. I put $10. I would have won $8,300.
$10 per game?
No, $10 total.
So a parlay
total
means everything needs to happen. So you pick multiple things that all have to happen.
And I got nine. And so
obviously the
right,
odds,
Tabo.
The more things you add, the odds grow.
I mean, I won another sports bet, and I actually went up on the trip for $200. So it's like,
right.
I was fine.
I have the 49ers. I think the 49ers win by 10+.
We're not worried about that game. If I was in Wendover right now, that is in my 10-team parlay. No joke. Not even worried.
Yeah, I would pick the Niners too if I was in Wendover. Because either
but
I'm
parlays,
fan,
you just pick money line.
No. Parlays, you do spreads. You can do spreads. You can do over unders. I did spreads and over unders on mine.
Oh, really?
And I got all of them right, except the freaking Falcons because they're losers. They are absolute losers.
Who was favorited in that game?
I can't remember anymore. I'd have to look at the spread of what it was. Yeah. Either way, whatever they did, lost me.
Yeah.
And didn't.
Colts, 2.5-point favorites over the 3-0 Bears.
Yeah, no, Colts for sure. Colts, this was actually an interesting game when I was trying to make bets because they were an 11.5-point favorite last week.
Yeah, that was easy.
Right.
I mean,
the Bears aren't going to be as good as they're starting to shock people with. Okay, the Colts are winning more than 2.5.
I also have the Colts, 2.5.
Yeah.
Picking Colts as well.
All right. Clean sweep for the Colts. Your upset, outright upset pick. Mm. Could be NFL, could be college. Alex, Tabo, do you have one, Tabo?
Yeah. The ESPN app has been pretty dumb, but I'm pretty sure it's Vanderbilt LSU. Is that who LSU is playing?
So you're picking Vanderbilt to win that game?
Yeah.
Really? All right. I like it. I like it a lot, actually.
What are these people doing up there?
Alex, your outright upset pick.
So what I'm about to say hurts me, but I have a feeling this is what's going to happen.
Oklahoma loses.
Oklahoma's losing to Iowa State. Sorry.
What is the spread on that?
Oklahoma by 7.
Really?
I was leaning towards Kansas-Oklahoma State, but Oklahoma State has a 21.5 spread on that.
Really?
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah.
I'm opening up my app right now.
You do that and you'd be like, wow, with me.
Oklahoma State's a 21-point favorite.
21.5
favorite.
Yeah.
There's no way. I don't believe you.
Look at it.
Hold on. I'm going to the Barstool Sportsbook app. That's
okay,
what I used for all.
So you'll see what theirs is. This one's on ESPN. They pull from I think they pull from like the MGM or Caesar or whatever.
Yeah. So I'm using the Barstool Sportsbook app for all these. Wow. It's not versus Kansas. Kansas State. It's Kansas.
Kansas.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought you said Oklahoma State, Kansas State.
Oh, no, Oklahoma State, Kansas.
Oh, okay. Oh, that makes more sense then.
You were like, hold on.
I was like, there's no way Oklahoma State's a 21.5-point favorite over Kansas State,
who just beat
Oklahoma. My outright upset pick, I have Ole Miss 6.5 over Kentucky.
Okay.
I think the Lane train offense is going to put up a lot of points. I don't think this Kentucky offense is built to put up a lot of points. We saw that this last week against Auburn. I think Ole Miss not only covers the spread, but I think they go and they beat the Wildcats. So I have Ole Miss outright over Kentucky. That's my upset pick of the week. Clearing the benches, any other news and or notes? The Bama Adebayo is headed to the locker room right now for the Miami Heat. Miami Heat are down big right now. 87-55. So I said earlier in the podcast that you're listening to this and the Lakers are up 1-0. Looks like that's going to be true because they are up by 32 right now, midway through the third quarter.
Ugly.
Any other final thoughts?
Nah, man. Go Hawks.
Tabo?
Nah, I got nothing.
Couldn't even muster a go Eagles?
You can't. Fly, Eagles, fly.
There you go.
To the day that we die.
All right, thanks for listening to the Off-Field Generals podcast. It was presented by Tuned In Sports. Go subscribe, like, review, all that good stuff. Peace.